You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. This is God's word. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while." For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. But many saw them leaving and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples approached him and said, "This place is deserted and it is already late. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." "You give them something to eat," he responded. They said to him, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. He kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. Now, those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is the one miracle that Jesus did that is recorded in all four Gospels. He did many, many miracles. John tells us in his Gospel that if all the miracles Jesus did were written down, the world wouldn't be able to contain all the books that would be written to record the miracles. Jesus did miracles a lot. But this miracle is the one of all the miracles that is recorded in all four Gospels. So apparently there's something a little special about this one. Now, each of them records it a little differently. They don't all share the exact same details in their accounts. There's not a conflict among them. It's just different emphasis, and this person thought this needed to be mentioned, and this person thought this needed to be mentioned, and they were guided by the Holy Spirit in recording what they said. Mark gives us a somewhat abbreviated account. There are a number of details that are left out, like, for instance, the fact that it was a little boy's lunch, or the fact that it was the disciple Andrew who brought the little boy to Jesus. The reason that our school is St. Andrew's School is because of Andrew in the Bible, who not only brought this little boy to Jesus, who had the loaves and fish, but the first thing we learn about Andrew as we read in the Gospels is that when he met Jesus, he immediately went and got his brother and brought him. The first thing he did was to go and get his brother and bring him. And we want this ministry to be about bringing people to Jesus, which is what the Apostle Andrew was famous for. He brought people to Jesus. Now, in the details that Mark does give us, there are a number of things that we need to dwell on for a few moments. The first is the fact that this whole miracle took place in the context of fatigue. They were having so much ministry going on, so much happening, that Jesus said, you know, you need to go with me to a remote place. Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. That's the goal. That's the mission. That's what we're going to try and do. How did that work out? When they got to the remote place, there was a crowd waiting for them. Now, the good news is they apparently had a somewhat leisurely boat ride across the Sea of Galilee. I'm thankful for that, and I've fallen asleep in a boat more than once. But I find something that just kind of puts me to sleep. Remember that if you're trying to get a child to go to sleep, by the way. You kind of give them that little rocking motion sometimes, and it's helpful. But they got in the boat, they go across to the other side, and there's a crowd waiting for them. And Jesus felt irritation toward them. Is that what it says? No, it says Jesus felt compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. One of the great things about living here at the ranch is that we can have sheep. One of the things that you learn if you interact with sheep is that they are not really all that bright. Okay? Other animals are often trained to perform. Bears, even, are trained to perform. Lions and tigers, dogs, cats, rats, horses, all kinds of animals are trained to do things, not sheep. Sheep are not very bright, short-sighted, and they just kind of move from one thing to eat to another thing to eat, and they need somebody to look after them. And God says, you are my sheep. And we say, we think we're pretty smart sometimes. God says, you need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. If you think, I'm going to make it on my own, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to follow my inner compass and just fulfill my desires, you will end up eaten by wolves. But Jesus, seeing their need, began to teach them. And he taught them many things. But the day grew late. And the disciples came at the end of a day that they had hoped was going to be their day off. It was going to be their vacation. It was going to be the retreat with the Master. It was going to be time to relax. Instead, there are all these people there. There are always all these people there. It seems like we never get rid of all the people. People are always there. What are we going to do? They come to Jesus and they say, you know, we've been thinking. It's getting late. We're in a remote place. These people haven't had anything to eat. I think we ought to send them away. Let them go and get something to eat. We need to take care of these people, Jesus. I know you're all about taking care of people. Well, now's the time to be decisive and send them on their way. What do you think? Jesus says, you give them something to eat. That's crazy talk. What in the world is Jesus talking about? What? We don't have that kind of food. We don't have that kind of resource. You want us to go out and shop for all these folks? There were thousands of people. They hadn't counted them yet. They'd count them after they were seated in groups of 50 and hundreds, which, if you check the other Gospels, wasn't just a random thing. Jesus told the disciples to have them sit down in groups of 50 and 100. But it was obvious that there were a ton of people. I should say there were tons. There was a ton of people. There were tons. Lots and lots and lots of people. And they didn't really have any food to share. The loaves and fish that they were going to share were the provisions of a little boy. That wasn't Peter's lunch. Wasn't John's lunch. It was a little boy's lunch. And so they're saying, send them away. One of the reasons that they felt a need for time away was because they'd been so busy they didn't even get to eat. Remember? That's what it said at the beginning. Many people were coming and going and they did not even have time to eat. So this eating thing and this resting thing are being thwarted once again. Okay? And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. They said, you want us to go shopping and get something to eat? It's going to cost us a year's wages. Jesus said, well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. One of the patterns you'll see with miracles in Scripture, when God's going to provide, he often asks the people to see what they have. Because often when we feel like we have nothing, we mean relatively speaking. Okay? I don't have any money right now. I mean, practically speaking. In terms of adding an addition on my house, I don't have any money. Okay? I do have some paper money in my pocket, but it's just, you know, walking around money, you know? I mean, it's not like go shopping money. I mean, there's shopping money, and then there's just walking around money in case you run into something that is vitally important you have to take care of right then, like a candy bar. But God says to his people on multiple occasions, what do you have? I'll take you back, for example, to a fellow by the name of Moses. You've heard of him. Okay? And he's saying, how am I supposed to get these people to believe that you've sent me? And God says to him, what have you got in your hand? I don't have anything in my hand. Yeah, you do. Oh, well, that's my staff. God says, throw it down. He throws it down and it turns into a snake, a giant serpent. Okay? He had something in his hand. But God tells him, throw it down. And when he throws it down and it becomes a serpent, God says, pick it up. I don't like the trend here. Okay? I mean, when I threw it down, my situation got worse. Now you want me to pick it up. He obeys God, always the right choice, and when he picks it up, it becomes a staff again. Only now, it's the staff of God. It was Moses' staff. Now, something's changed. Because God takes what we have and turns it into something miraculous when we obey him regarding it. You understand? And that doesn't just apply to a staff. That applies to our money. It applies to relationships. It applies to our time, our talents, whatever we've got, if we will obey God with it. God will use it miraculously. But God's miracles happen over and over, Old and New Testament, in the context of obedience. The word context is C-O-N-T-E-X-T. That's C-O-N-T-E-X-T. Why do I need to know that? Because I just gave you the main point that you need to write down. God's miracles happen. Miracle, miracle. How do I spell miracle? M-I-R-A-C-L-E. Put an S on it because we're talking plural here. God's miracles happen in the context, C-O-N-T-E-X-T, of obedience.
I can't spell that.
Here, let me make it simpler for our younger ones. God's miracles happen in the context of when we obey. How's that? Obedience is O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience. Okay? Which simply means when we obey. God works His miracles when we obey. Now, you want to see God do miraculous things?
Yes.
Well, then obey God. Just do what He says.
And am I guaranteed like a miracle an hour or what?
No, you are guaranteed that God will do what He chooses to do, which goes way beyond what you could imagine, and miracles will occur as needed. Okay?
Well, it would take a miracle for that to happen.
Well, it's not hard for God. God doesn't say, oh, a miracle. Goodness, I've already done three today. Okay? This is not hard for God. Humanly speaking, this was an impossible situation. Please notice there's much more left over after all the people have eaten than there was to start with. There are 12 baskets full of food when they're all done. Okay? They started with scarcity and ended with surplus. Older students, you might want to write that down. They started with scarcity. Means they didn't have much. They ended with surplus. That's what happens when you obey God. God's not saying, well, I think I can do enough. We tell the story around here about something that happened a couple of Christmases ago when during the month of December we needed $500,000. Now, we did not advertise that. We didn't send out an appeal in our email list saying, you know, please, we need to get $500,000 this month. We didn't do that. We did not get on the phone with our top donors and say, hey, listen, guys, we really need a big push this month because we need $500,000. And so we didn't do that. We prayed. And we prayed for $500,000. And God sent us $500,000 plus $49. It's like, was our math off? No, God just said, here's a little extra. In case you see a candy bar or something. God is more than able to meet every need and beyond. Okay? But God works His miracles in the context of obedience. He told them, this is what you're to do. The first thing He told them about it was, you give them something to eat. Now, if God says you give them something to eat, guess what you're going to be enabled to do? You're going to be enabled to give them something to eat. How is that possible? We don't have anything. You want us to go shopping? He says, what do you have? God will ask you from time to time to inventory your resources. Not just because God wants to use your resources, but because God wants you to see how big a miracle He's about to do. Okay? If they had just said, okay, everybody, anybody who's got any food, pass it around. We're gonna try and see if we can all share and make this work. When they ended up with 12 baskets full of food afterwards, they would have said, wow, we didn't know we had that much. It's like my beloved story about the man falling off the roof, cries out, God save me. Just then his pants catch on a nail, and he says, never mind, my pants just caught on a nail. That's how a lot of people live. They run into a mess, they call out to God, God answers prayer, and they say, oh, I guess it wasn't a big deal after all. Let me tell you something. God will often put His dearly loved children in situations where we will realize that in order for us to do what God commands, it's going to take a miracle. Now, a lot of people at that point decide God must not really mean that. I mean, there's no way I can do that. I mean, feed all of my, oh, you're joking. It can't be. I mean, there's no way. You're asking me to do the impossible. Many people refuse to do what God says because it's impossible. Well, it's impossible apart from God. It's not impossible with God. These folks were told to do something that would only be possible through the power of God. Let me see if I can think of another example of that phenomenon in Scripture that maybe you'll realize applies to you. Be holy because I am holy. How am I supposed to be holy? Well, it will take God. But don't think that when God's commands require God's power, we are excused. That's not the way it works. So, Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. They respond, should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread? This is the only way they could see that that could happen. Okay, we do have some money. Judas, how much money have we got? He was the treasurer, don't forget. Should we buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? One of the disciples, apparently something of an accounting mindset, said a year's wages would only be enough for everybody to get one bite. He had calculated it. He was good. Some people are good at that. And Jesus said to them, he asked them, how many loaves do you have? Here's the next command. Go and see. Okay? They're not allowed to just stand there and say, well, we don't have anything. I mean, we don't have anything. You ain't got anything? We don't have anything. Jesus says, go see. Andrew's the one who's going to come back and say, well, here's a little boy with five small loaves and two small fish, but what is that among so many? That was his question for Jesus. But he was the one who went and found the boy. Well, when they found out, they said, five and two fish. Then he instructed them, here's the third command, then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Okay? The one thing they had plenty of was grass. See, I would have been thinking, well, we could go vegan. Okay? We could say, look, folks, we're glad you came. We're a little short on supplies. We want everybody just to pick some grass and eat it. It's not very tasty, but it is nutritious. If you're a bovine. So just, you know, help yourselves to what's available and hope you enjoyed your stay. But Jesus says, no, that's meant to sit on. I am so glad. See? I am so glad. They got bread and fish, which to me is very, very much of an improvement over just green stuff that grows out of the ground. It's just, I just offer that for free. But I do notice, by the way, while I have many dearly loved vegetarian friends, I do notice that Jesus ate fish often and declared all foods clean. So don't, you know, if you want to eat a restricted diet, just don't turn it into a religious thing. Jesus instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Not only to sit down, but to sit down in groups. He's giving them instructions. He's telling them, this is what you're to do, this is how you're to do it. That kind of instruction opens the opportunity for us to be a part of a miracle. You understand? I mean, why did Jesus want them sitting in groups? Well, it made them easier to count so that afterwards they would know how big a miracle this was. Okay? But he has them sit down in groups of 50 and 100, and they do. And then Jesus doesn't give the details here, but we know it from the other Gospels. Jesus did something that I think is not just beautiful, but it's exactly what we're supposed to do. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. When you are facing this need and you've got this much, do you give complaint or do you give thanks? What am I going to do with this? This is not enough. There's no way this is going to meet the need. Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks. When it says he blessed the meal, you check the other Gospels. He gave thanks. Are you giving thanks for what's in your hands? What do you have? Oh, all I've got is this. Are you giving thanks for that? We're supposed to give thanks in all circumstances. Are you thanking God for what he has entrusted to you? I was hoping he'd give me this. Well, he didn't. He gave you this. Are you thanking God for it? Well, I'll thank him if he gives me this. You're not going to get that. Not with that attitude. But if your attitude is, thank you, Lord, for what I have, then you're in a place of blessing. So, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves. And it says he kept giving them to his disciples to set before the people. 5,000 men, plus women and children, are going to get fed. It would take tractor trailer loads in order to feed that many people. I mean, one truckload wouldn't do it. You understand? One big truckload would not do that. 5,000 men, plus women and children. And Jesus is starting out with a little boy's lunch, and he just kept going like this. How does he do that? I don't know. But I'm getting tired because I keep running back and forth among the crowd, and I'm having to, he just keeps. You know what I've discovered about Jesus? He hadn't changed. He still just keeps doing miracles and handing out what's needed. And it's like, where is it coming from? How's he doing this? I don't know. Let me tell you, every year in this ministry and in my ministry, I'm amazed at what God does. Absolutely astounded. Some of you know that I have a separate organization that was intended to make it so that I didn't have to get paid by the ranch. And a number of years back, one of our original founding donors, who had been contributing a third of our budget, wrote to me and said, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to give next year. This is our last year. And so there went a third of my budget, and I thought, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? And God made it up through other folks who didn't know anything about the change. It was like, wow, thank you so much. And then we got a letter from another donor who gave a third of our budget saying, I am so sorry, but this is our last year.
And I thought, what am I doing? Am I alienating all these people? Is it my breath? I mean, what's going on here? I lose a third and now I'm losing another third. And God made it up again. Here at the ranch, as the Affordable Care Act and other circumstances have driven up costs, you know what? God has provided. And I keep looking and saying, where is it going to come from? Some of our best donors have died. They're not sending in anymore because they're dead. Now, some people, by the way, some people are still giving after they pass away. And if you would like information about planned estate giving, you contact us. But I'm just telling you, most people don't plan that well, okay? And they just die and the gifts quit, okay? Sometimes you get a special in memorial and that's it, you know, in memoriam. There it is. It's a memorial gift. And then it's over. We've had a whole bunch of those. Tons of my friends are now in heaven, okay? And so it's like, where's it going to come from? I don't know where it's going to come from. How's God going to provide what we need? Never once has God asked that question. God has never said, oh no, they died? What will we do for the ranch? God always provides. Always. Always. People that I didn't know come along and say, hey, we heard about the great work you're doing and we want to help. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. God is faithful. He loves you guys. That's a fact. So, they're sitting on the grass. Jesus is given thanks and he keeps giving the loaves and fish to the disciples to be set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them, it says. Everyone ate a bite. Is that what it says? Everyone ate and was satisfied. That's amazing. There was plenty. As a matter of fact, there wasn't just plenty, there was more than enough. After everyone ate and was satisfied, they had 12 baskets full of leftovers. Apparently God's into leftovers. Okay? More than enough. Now, I don't know what kind of seemingly impossible problem you may be facing, but if you have been around any length of time, I am sure that you either have faced such a problem or are facing such a problem. And if you haven't been around very long, and so you say, I've never faced a problem like that. I've never felt responsible for anything in my life. You will. You will. And God is still the same today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I would ask you, are you going to complain? Are you going to despair? Are you going to try and wiggle your way out of the problem? Or are you going to realize that God puts us in situations where the need exceeds our supply apart from God so that we will realize that we're not supposed to live apart from God? God puts us in those situations so that we won't try and make it on our own. He puts us in those situations and gives us commands so that we will realize the only way this is going to work is if God does a miracle. And God says, I'm so glad you understand that. Got it? God is not short on power. He's not short on ideas. He's already got this thing mapped out. And so while to us it looks like an impossibility, God says it's an opportunity. I'm about to do something for my glory. And you and I need to give him all the praise.
Father, thank you so much that you are a miracle-working God. Thank you that Jesus gave clear commands so that they knew what to do. And when they obeyed, the miracles happened. We thank you, we praise you, we rejoice in you. And now we ask that this day you would empower us to be obedient. Give us faith to trust and obey. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.